I'm the youth director here. My name is Nick Thomas. We are in John 15 this morning. We'll be reading the first 17 verses. A little bit of housekeeping, slight mistake in the bulletin. The sermon title should be The Mission of Abiding. The Mission of Making Disciples was last week's sermon, which is a great sermon if you happen to miss it. You can stream it online through our website. But this morning we're going to look at John 15 and see what it means to abide and remain in Jesus. This is John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. And if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. Branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this is your word. And I pray as we seek your word, as we seek wisdom and heavenly knowledge, that the words I speak are not my own, but yours. If I speak anything false or untrue, that they fall upon deaf ears. May we grow in our love and in our faith this morning. Amen. So weird. My family are huge Calvin and Hobbes fans. Matter of fact, my father has the complete collection of this cartoon, Calvin and Hobbes. My mother often says that when I was a child, I reminded her of Calvin and Hobbes, partly because I had a stuffed lion that I talked to all the time. His name was Harvey, if you're curious. There's one strip that, most of them are hilarious, but there's one particular strip that captures the essence of what it means to be a little boy. And Calvin is really excited to go outside, and he just runs through the house to go outside, not wearing any clothes. And his mom stops him and says, "You need to go get your clothes before you go outside." So he runs, he grabs his clothes, and then he runs outside. Now here's another reason why my mom says I reminded her of Calvin and Hobbes. Not long after that strip came out, I too would go play outside. I was about 3 at the time, and so I was running, and I too was not wearing any clothes. Mom stopped me and says, "You need to go get your clothes on if you're going to go play outside." And so I ran, and then back through the house with the clothes under my arm, I was ready to go play outside. The past few weeks, Stuart's been preaching through the mission of the church. And as we listen to those sermons, we can feel convicted and we get excited to go. We are ready to go forth. We're ready to proclaim praise. We're ready to be in the mission field. We're ready. We're going to share the gospel with 10 different people every week. We're going to seek out mercy and justice. We're going to pour ourselves out and make disciples. And these are good things to do. But if we forget to abide in Christ, if we do not remain in Jesus, we are like a kid running outside with his clothes. We are not ready for the mission. So in order to fulfill this mission, in order to do the things that God has commanded us to do as a church, we must abide in Jesus. Now, if we're going to talk about abiding, we need to know what abiding means. Very rarely, on occasion, in teaching the youth, I may use a word that they do not know. And if they let me know, they generally just kind of just shake their head and say, yeah, go with it. But when they stop and let me know that they don't know what the word means that I'm using, we stop and I try my best to explain it with varying degrees of success. But if we want understanding of this passage, we need to know what it means to abide. Because Christ uses the word 10 times in verses 4 through 11. So perhaps a better way to understand abide, a word that we don't use very much outside the church context, is to remain, to stay, to dwell. We want to dwell in the love of God. When we go forth on the mission of the church, we don't want to meander away from the Lord. We don't want to depart from the gospel. And when I say stay or remain, this is not a passive stay. We stay in Christ, and Christ says, you stay in me as I have stayed in the Father's love. And I've done this by upholding the Father's commandments. He says, do the things that I've commanded you. So if we're going to abide, it means we're going to have to be obedient to the Word of God. Now, I understand we are indeed sinners. We're not perfect, and if we fail, it's not automatically being kicked out of the church. But if we're going out, if we're going forth with the gospel, if we're going to pour ourselves out, we must make sure that our cup is full. We cannot rely upon our own willpower. Otherwise, we will fail. If you're not moved by the love of Jesus, if you're not striving to walk in his commandments, trying to walk in his ways, if you're not dwelling upon his word in prayer and in the Spirit, then we're not abiding. So to abide, we want to dwell and remain in the Lord. And Christ uses vine imagery in this passage to show the necessity of abiding. He begins this passage saying, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Now this is the last I am statement in the Gospel of John. And if you're curious as to know who Jesus is, go through the book of John and look at the great I am statements. Because it tells us of the character and the nature of Jesus. And what's special about this one is it's the only one with a second assertion to it. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. And it's interesting because you might wonder, why do we have need of a vine dresser? Because vine imagery was pretty common in the Old Testament. When Jesus says he's the vine, it brings back imagery used by the prophets and the psalmists. In Psalm 80, the vine is a reference of Israel coming out of Egypt. In Isaiah 5, it's a reference to Jerusalem and how the nation did not bear fruit as it should. Jeremiah 2, God's people, it says God's people were planted as a choice vine. Then it turned degenerate. It grew wild. In Ezekiel chapter 15, the prophet speaks of how the vine branch is really only good for the fire. And the prophet says the vine branch is Jerusalem. Now, these references to the vine are not pretty in the Old Testament. So it becomes all the more startling when Christ says, I am the true vine and the Father is the vine dresser. By being vine dresser, he's saying the Father is the gardener taking care of his plants, making sure that the plants bear fruit. For the branches that are healthy, he prunes. He cuts back. This can be a painful experience for the plant, but it makes the plant grow stronger. It makes the fruit grow greater. Now, we would look at this and say, this is discipline. Again, we don't want to go out and forget the gospel. We want to stay true to the vine. We want to remain in Christ. And so, when we go wayward, we need to be called back to make sure we are bearing good fruit. That the mission that we're doing is actually the mission of Christ and the mission of the church and not the mission of our own. And for those who don't abide, who go forth and lose and do not remain in the vine, verse 6 tells us the vine dresser cuts away the dead branches for judgment. Those branches no longer getting the resources, they wither and they die and they're used for fire. Again, we can think of an illustration that sort of demonstrates this would be a coach coaching team. If a player messes up, the coach corrects. A quarterback overthrows his receiver, coaches fix the mechanics. Receiver runs the wrong route, the coach corrects where he is supposed to go. But if a player is actively detrimental to the team, rebellious against the coach, sowing discord among the other players, he's removed from the team. If we don't remain, we're not abiding, it's easy to catch fire for God, go out, forget where you've come from, and begin to freelance. You catch a vision, and without checking it, and without you holding yourself accountable and holding each other accountable to the scriptures and fellowship of believers, we can easily move away from the teachings of Christ. We may even convince ourselves we already know the depths of God's word, so we're going to go forth, we're going to go away, and we're not remaining. And this is why we have discipline. This is why we have church discipline. It's not to antagonize us. It's not to push us away from the body, but it is so that we can bear stronger fruit. Because Christ makes it clear, apart from him, we can do nothing. So if we want to evangelize, if we are going to disciple one another, if we're going to go out on missions, whether service or evangelism, if we're going to seek goodness and justice, these things, they cannot be accomplished without dwelling and remaining in Christ. We cannot accomplish our mission as a church without staying true to Jesus. So, how do we abide? If you abide in me and my word abides in you. This is how verse 7 begins. If we're going to be disciples of Jesus, if we're going to be followers of Christ, we need to remain in Jesus, and the word must remain in us. Our purpose is to bear fruit. It is to fulfill the calling that Christ has put before us. It is to walk in his ways. And if we are going to accomplish the calling and the good works that God has put before you, as he tells us in Ephesians 2, and if we're going to do this as a church, we must stay connected to the vine. We must remind ourselves continually of the love and the grace and the mercy of Christ. Because abiding in Jesus, that is what brings glory to God. Following his commandments, bearing fruit, that is what brings glory to God. That shines the light toward heaven and not to ourselves. And in doing so, the vine is made more fruitful. God's kingdom grows stronger. The church is made stronger. And the church becomes a better reflection of the things to come. And that is the source of our joy. It brings us great joy. Not just great joy, but so that our joy may be full. We have a taste of this. Whenever we really accomplish a task, whether you're a kid and you wake up and your parents have a list of chores, it feels good to go through and accomplish that list. When you're in school and you have a big project due, when you get it done, you feel victorious, might I say? But there is a sense of joy in getting it done. At work, when you accomplish the tasks and are able to get things done, it's a good feeling. Men, when you love your family well and you serve your wife well and your children well, it is a joyful feeling. Likewise, when God has laid out works for us to do, and we see what he has commanded us to do, and we, knowing his love for us, and we want to stay true to that, go out and follow in those commandments, that brings us great and marvelous joy. So seek those things out. Know that your fuel, your sustenance, that remains in Christ alone. Now, we are busier and more distracted today than ever before. Your average teenager spends 11 hours looking at a screen. Parents, adults spend about 9 hours a day, with everything trying to grab your attention and your focus. It is easier to get work accomplished with technology, so we now have more work to do. And that adds to our stress. And it adds to our anxiety. We must remember that Christ calls us to remain in him. He is the true vine. He does not wither. But by remaining in Christ, fruit is grown. Fruit is made, and it is made well, and it is made good. So whether you're in a season of joy, whether you're in a time of suffering or sadness, a time possibly of praise, remember that we're made stronger in his word. We're made stronger in our prayer. We're made stronger through the preaching of his gospel, stronger through the sacraments, stronger in the fellowship with one another. We abide, we remain in Christ wherever he sends us, whatever he puts before us. This is where our sustenance resides. This is where we drink so we never become thirsty again. We're able to do this because Christ's love spurs us forth. God loves us. And we know this because Christ follows God's commandments perfectly. That is, without fail. And we see in the Sermon on the Mount that even the motivations, if we have wrongful motivations, it can make the actions of following God's commandments sinful. So we know Christ's motivations were pure and holy, not just his actions. It comes to this. He says, greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. When I was studying the passage this week, as I was preparing for the sermon, this verse struck me anew. Because at this point, Jesus knows. He says, greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. He knows that he is going to lay down his life for his friends. He says, no longer do I call you servant, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. Be Christ's brother. So we can say Father in heaven. In Jesus, we are elevated to family. And Jesus here knows he's going to be betrayed. He knows he's going to be denied. And yet he is going to lay down his life for his friends. And we are saved through it because he abides in the Father. His sacrifice covers our sin because he did not stray. He did not meander, not once, but abides. He remained in the Father, and he asks us to remain in him. It is not of fear of discipline or judgment that we are spurred forth, but out of the love and the grace of Christ, the love that he shows for us. No part of God's law did Christ neglect. No part of God's law did Christ stumble to uphold. He died so we may be saved. And he says, take this love and go and share it and bear much fruit. And he's talking to the disciples here. And the apostles, they did this. They went forth. They went to India. They went to Egypt. They went to Ethiopia, Greece, Turkey, Rome. John, the writer of this gospel, ended up in exile to share the gospel. Peter and Paul were crucified in Rome. In Acts 12, we read about James being executed by Herod. Philip and Andrew were crucified in Greece. Bartholomew was executed for his evangelistic efforts. Thomas died taking the gospel to India. Matthew was martyred. Jude and Simon died in Beirut. James, son of Alphaeus, died in Egypt. They were tortured. They were executed, but they went forth and bore fruit, and they could do so because no matter how far they went, they remained in Christ. They did not yield. They did not lapse. Christ held them up. And they remained in him. They abided in the Lord. They abided in his grace. Now, I would say our spiritual warfare here in Sumter is very different from that of the apostles. We're not fighting at the point of a sword, but really at the point of our own comfort. How many of us give up devotional time because we had a bad day? Have we neglected prayer because our schedule's too full? Are we hesitant to share the gospel of Jesus because it could be socially awkward? How many of us are not making disciples because we lack the patience to listen and guide others? When we have a busy week, sometimes it seems like we cut matters of faith and the church in order that we can find rest. But if we look at this passage, we see that true rest is found in Christ. True strength is staying in Him, remaining in Him. We are not to look elsewhere. And we're certainly not to look to our own strength because we will fail. But Jesus sustains us. He has fulfilled all the commands. And He has done so because He loves us, He loves His people, and He laid down His life for His people. He knew He was going to die. But it was the only way that final victory could be achieved, and it was made certain in His resurrection, that we may grow and bear fruit. That is our boldness. That is our hope. That is how we are able to accomplish the mission of the church, the mission that Christ has put before us. Self-confidence only gets us so far, and in ministry is not going to get you very far at all. But perseverance, that is abiding in Jesus. And that gives us the source to bear fruit and the strength to continue to grow. So we will go forth. We go forth while remaining in Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that we may abide in You. When the world swirls around us, when our own sinful nature tries to drive a wedge between us, I ask, Father, that You hold us to You. May we stay true to the vine of Jesus Christ. I ask that we may bear fruit, and we go forth always remaining in the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.